Chapter 30, Let's Talk Turkey by Willie Snow Etheridge. 30, A Swim in Iskenderun. We bobbed about in the Mediterranean and talked as though at a tea party. It seemed slightly ridiculous at the time, and it still does. I usually go in to swim. As practically the last living exponent of the breaststroke, I plow my way steadily through the water from the minute I get in until I get out. But not so on that afternoon in Iskenderun. I sort of sat on the water like a duck, my hands and feet wiggling just enough to keep me afloat, and chatted with Mr. Smith, Saladin Bey, and the roommate. And we sat in the water too, and they sat in the water too, wiggled their hands and feet, and chatted back. The water was as warm as mother's milk. "We sometimes sit this way and talk for 2 or 3 hours," said Mr. Smith, when the roommate suggested going out, or in, whichever the case may be. So the roommate sat back and we continued to talk. And we talked, believe it or not, about licorice. I had no idea it could be so interesting, and I could be so interested in licorice. Mr. Smith is a Britisher with so British an accent you would think he was an American who had gone to Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship. He is the Iskenderun director of MacAndrews and Forbes, a New York concern involved in the importing and selling of licorice. Licorice comes from the root of a plant that grows wild in all wet and marshy places in Turkey, but flourishes especially well around Iskenderun. The Turks dig it from October through March and haul it to the MacAndrews and Forbes plant, where it is stacked in the sun to dry. Huge ricks of it were piled on the shore close to the spot where we were swimming and gave off a sweetish wet mud odor. When Saladin Bey, his wife and 2 children, a boy named Mireille, about 12 years old, and a girl about 6, the roommate and I first approached the MacAndrews and Forbes beach. I had smelled the odor and been curious, but as soon as Mr. Smith, quite natty in his white shorts, white sports shirt and white socks and tennis shoes, greeted us, he murmured, "Licorice, you know," and summoned an attendant to bring pronto a piece for me to suck. It was hard as wood with a tough brown covering. Nevertheless, being the guest of Mr. Smith, I sucked. I'm agreeable that way, but there was no taste, none whatsoever, that I could detect. It was just an old stick from the mud. The roommate, though, thought I was hogging it all for myself and suggested a bit impatiently, "Give the children some, why don't you? Don't keep it all yourself. They want some." Mr. Smith said quickly he could go get the children some, but I wouldn't hear of it. I wouldn't think of nothing I would rather do at the moment than share mine with them. But in spite of the embarrassing failure of my taste buds to detect any taste, that stick must have had some. As Mr. Smith told us as we lolled in the water, the juice from it, and millions of other sticks, of course, is relished in innumerable ways. "The kiddies love it, don't you know," he said, happily patting a gentle swell as it rolled by. "In England, they make it into short sticks, give it a high glaze to improve its appearance, and sell it in all the candy shops, and I dare say it is jolly good, too." "I used to eat it as a child in the United States," I remarked solemnly, as if the United States were some unknown continent like Mars and I was making a contribution to science. "But I never knew it came from roots." "Oh, I say, how very amusing," Mr. Smith, his head turned toward the roommate and me, companionably executed a wide circle. Saladin Bey at the moment was a little distance away, playing. He was some kind of fish, no doubt, a man-eating shark, with Mete. His wife and daughter, smiling, watched him from the beach. "These roots are one of the big export products of Turkey," said Mr. Smith. "They mean a jolly lot to the peasants, don't you know. They can gather them together during the winter months after the cotton is picked and make quite a tidy little sum for their families. From what I hear about the low wages, I'm sure they can use it," commented the roommate. "Quite." For some minutes, saying nothing, we swayed like buoys this way and that, with the small pale green waves washing past. The late afternoon sun didn't seem to move at all, but hung as brilliant and as many-pointed as a sultan's decoration upon the blue-gray uniform of the sky. I felt drowsy. I'm sure the water was the exact temperature recommended at bedtime for insomnia patients. "Do you ship the roots in bales?" the roommate inquired. "Yes, after the roots have dried here for several months, we press them into bales like hay. In that way, they don't take up too much shipping space." "Bales like hay in that way," I repeated softly to myself, rhythmically slapping the water with the palms of my hand. "Bales like hay in that way." Golly, I had just about rocked myself to sleep. With effort, I pulled my feet to the surface and did a few slow strokes toward the faraway horizon. Saladin Bey was not a man-eating shark after all. He was a whale. He was spouting water high into the air, but he stopped long enough to call to me. "You think you can swim to the United States?" "Not hardly," I answered, laughing. "How far do you suppose it is?" "Oh, my goodness. Who knows? Who knows?" When I returned to my sitting position, Mr. Smith was telling the roommate that cigarette and snuff manufacturers in the United States use licorice to season their products. "In our licorice plant in New Jersey, the licorice roots are boiled to extract the juice," he explained, "and then the juice is solidified into large blocks and shipped to the manufacturers." "How do the manufacturers get the licorice into the cigarettes and snuff?" I asked. "Oh, I say, I never thought of that. I suppose they chip it off the old block," I suggested, just like that. But Mr. Smith didn't appreciate it, nor did the roommate. He was tired of swimming, or rather sitting, and announced firmly, "I'm getting out. I've had enough." "Cheerio, old chap," called Saladin Bey, suddenly turning British. Then he asked, just as suddenly turning American, "We'll be seeing you." And very shortly, we did follow him out. I sensed Mr. Smith was disappointed in us, but quite. We had set only an hour and a half. Still, he was big about it. He gave me several licorice sticks to take back to the ship for Mr. Big. End of chapter 30.